Reading with your kids.
Hey, 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 so great to see you. Come on in. Hi, my name is Jed Lee, and this is the Reading with Your Kids podcast. Thanks to you, a number one iTunes kids and family podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for subscribing to the show, for giving the show reviews, for letting your friends and family know all about the show. You love the show, I'm guessing, because we have great guests. And we have a wonderful guest today. His name is Norman Elagim, and he has written an amazing book called From Me to You.
This episode of the Reading with Your Kids podcast is brought to you by The Great Maritini, the delightful new children's book from Jed Lee. The Great Maritini is a fun and touching story about Sam, a lovable but far from perfect magician. He is known throughout the land as the Great Maritini. Despite his many onstage mishaps, Sam never gives up on himself, and as a result of that grit and resolve, is able to dazzle audiences with his amazing transformations. Sam also has a kind heart who cannot walk away from anyone in need, and soon learns that the greatest transformation is transforming feelings of caring into action to help another human being. The Great Maritini is available exclusively as an ebook from Amazon.
Joining us on the line right now from Los Angeles in California, our author, it's a wonderful, wonderful book. It's called From Me to You, Stories About Life, Love, Family, Faith, and How to Negotiate a Bigger Allowance. Please welcome to the show, Norman Elagim. Norman, how are you?
I'm great, Jed. Thank you for having me, and how are you?
I am pretty wonderful. Really happy to be talking to you about this book, From Me to You. Now, as I understand it, this is a book that you wrote for your daughter.
I did. I like to say that I'm an accidental author because I never really set out to write a book. I actually set out to write letters to my daughter. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, by the time my daughter Mackenzie was about 10 or 11 years old, and of course I was a bit of an older dad by the time that she was born, so there was all these things that I wanted to tell her and teach her and tell her about life, and like the book says, life, love, family, faith. But of course, when you're 10 or 11, you don't really have a lot of capacity or interest mm-hmm. for those things. So what I decided was that I was going to write her a letter a week for a year, just about any topic of our family or anything that came to my mind. And I wrote the first letter, and it was fun and great. And then, of course, the next week, I sat looking at the empty page on the computer and had no idea what to write and didn't want to write anything. And literally just to hold myself accountable, I decided to post the first letter on my Facebook page and social media. And I said, here, I'm going to write a letter a week for a year. Hold me accountable. I'll be posting one letter per week because I didn't want to be embarrassed to then not post. Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing it. And I actually ended up making it a blog, which was very widely read. And about a year or so ago, a friend of mine who happens to be a book publishing agent randomly friended me on Facebook, read the blog, and called me up and said, I think there should be a book. And he sold it. And sure enough, as of about a month ago, it's a book.
What a great way to become an author.
Yes. No pressure.
You hear stories of authors who are struggling and trying to get an agent to look at their manuscript, and boom, here it is. It kind of falls into your lap.
It just fell into my lap. But the interesting thing was the fulfilling part, of course, was writing it mm-hmm. and getting to say things to my daughter that I hoped and hope as she is in adulthood and as the years goes by, she will really be able to savor and enjoy. And hopefully she and I can talk about a little bit of family lore and what I meant when I talked about faith and religion, or what I meant when I talked about true love or marriage or whatever those things are. So it's been incredibly fulfilling, but to your point, without the pressure of, oh my gosh, I have to figure out how to get an agent.
Now, I'm just curious. I wonder, are you worried that you know, there may be some things that she comes to you and reads a letter and said, Dad, what were you thinking about when you wrote this? And you think, well, I wrote that. I can't believe I wrote that.
Jed, that is really funny and doubly so, because it's stuff that I have thought about, especially when I knew that the book was about to be published. But I think if you look at the letters and if you read the book, you'll see there's nothing there that I'm ashamed about, embarrassed about. Quite on the contrary, one of the things that I take great care in the book, and I have three daughters. This was framed as letters to my youngest daughter, but they're really about, you know, all of my daughters and my family, and as I say, a little bit of family history and a little bit more about kind of my thoughts on the world and our values and what I hope and dream for her.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And it's really important. And I love, I think it's beautiful that you wrote the letters, because a lot of these conversations can be awkward to have,
yeah.
You know, to sit down and go, sit down, my 15-year-old daughter. I want to tell you how much I love you. And like, nah, Dad, that's weird.
Yes, when they get to be 15, you're a little bit annoying to them. That's not what they need or want to hear. Well, they need to hear it, actually, but I don't know that they want to hear it. It's funny that you say that. One of the chapters that I wrote is called The Birds and the Bees. Uh-huh. And it's really the conversation that parents should have with their children and that fathers will have with their daughters, mm-hmm. about dating and sex and all those things that are, to your point, incredibly awkward to talk about and embarrassing. And so when I was writing that letter, it's interesting because I felt, even though I was just sitting writing, I wasn't telling her about it, I was feeling all the awkwardness and embarrassment that one would feel. And I tried to write that chapter with a little bit of humor as well.
Uh-huh. Yes. So tell us, can you share with us a couple of funny anecdotes that you shared in the letters to your daughters?
One of the letters that I wrote her, which is called Daddy Sitting, is really about when she was about 4 or 5 years old. My wife Laura went to Cleveland to visit her best friend Susie, and it was really my first time alone with Mackenzie, as the parent of record, if you will. And you know, I remember that one Friday night, she was taking dance. My daughter's a dancer, and she was taking, even in those days, a dance class at a dance studio. And I remember I was very concerned that I get her there on time and that she have her water and the tutu and all that kind of stuff. And it all went fine, and I took her to the dance class, and I parked the car. The parking god smiled on us. I was able to park right inside in the back in the studio. And then after class, I was feeling so proud of myself. I said, let's walk to the pizza parlor and get some pizza together, which we did. But I didn't realize at the time that the dance studio locked the parking lot after the classes. So when we came back from the pizza parlor, we couldn't get to our car because the car was locked in the thing. And, of course, my young daughter, when I explained to her that we could not get to our car, started bawling and was panicked. You know, she was 5. And so that letter is the misadventures of me getting her home in one piece and realizing how hard parenting actually is. And the reason I call it Daddy Sitting is when it was all over and we spoke to my wife the next day, my daughter, who, as I say, at the time was 5, said to my wife, gosh, Daddy Sitting is not as easy as I thought it would be.
And what a great story. And I can just picture myself there with your daughter just kind of bursting into tears, like not knowing what's going to happen as you came back and discovered that your car was kind of in jail for the night.
And everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. I literally had left the keys to the house inside the car. I mean, look, it's not that big a deal. I just knew we could take a cab or whatever and get home, but she didn't understand all that.
Right.
And then when we got home, there was no keys to the house. I mean, literally it was like Adventures in Babysitting gone wrong.
Well, I love that. And what a great, great memory to sit down and talk about with Mackenzie.
Yes.
You know, as she gets older and, you know, kind of is, she's able to look back at you and go, yo, Dad, remember the day?
Yeah. Yo, Dad, I told you, you know how I say now that you're annoying? Well, you were clearly annoying back then as well.
What's been the reaction, especially since these you know, folks have seen these over the years through the blog and whatnot, and now that the book's been out there, what kind of reaction are you getting from folks after they read the book?
Well, look, the reaction – thank you for asking. The reaction, Jed, has been amazing. And one of the really fulfilling and great things about the book, you know, the letters are very specific. It's not like I wrote a book saying, oh, this is what little girls should do and this is what dads do. It was literally very specific about her or her sisters or my wife or our life. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that has been amazing is everybody who is reading this book is saying, my gosh, these themes are so universal. And people say two things. What I find is that people who don't have children say to me, oh, this is amazing, Norm. I wish my dad had written me letters like this. And then people who have kids say to me, oh, my God, I better start writing letters to my children and let them know I love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's been incredibly fulfilling. And the other thing that's been interesting, you know, and I'll do a quick shameless plug. In addition to getting this on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore, I also sold the book to Audible, and I, as part of the deal, I got the opportunity to actually read the letters myself. And one of the things that was amazing was how moving it was for me when I actually read the letters. And it was actually funny because when I got into the studio, I said to the sound engineer, look, I know you haven't read this book yet, but I just want to give you a warning that probably 8 or 10 times while I'm reading this book, I'm going to start bawling and you're going to have to stop the tape. But it was loads of fun, and people who have heard the book on Audible have really said how much it moved them, how it made them laugh and cry and think about their own family. So that has really been wonderful.
That's great. And since you took a moment to do a shameless plug, which I don't mind at all, I'll take a moment to do a shameless plug to remind our listeners that you can pick up the Audible edition of From Me to You at no cost by signing up for their free trial membership at audibletrial.com/respect. And that way you can help support the podcast too.
Thank you.
So one of the questions that I ask authors oftentimes, and you know, I think at first listen, you know, you hear about the book, it's like, oh, yeah, this is absolutely a book for parents to kind of sit down and read. But I absolutely believe that this is a book that a family can sit down and experience together. Maybe not 5- and 6-year-olds, but certainly with teenagers. If you didn't, if your kid is 15 or 16 years old and you didn't have the foresight to write these letters when they were younger, I could definitely see sitting down and reading this together, or co-reading it together and talking about it on the way to dance class where you hopefully don't get your car locked up.
Yes, yes.
But what kind of conversations do you think families can have after reading From Me to You?
I think every kind of conversation that families would normally have and that, you know, children would have with each, you know, siblings would have with each other and parents would have with their children and the other way around. Because I really talk about, if you look at the different chapters, I talk about everything from marriage. I mean, some of them are funny, like the daddy sinning one that we discussed, but I also talk about faith and religion and marriage and peer pressure, what it's like to be a teenager and get bullied, so it addresses some of that. I talk about faith and religion and the different approaches to it. So there's a lot of things that, you know, one of my favorite chapters is called The Importance of Failure, because everybody, when we're growing up, talks to us about the importance of success. Mm-hmm. But people tend not to speak about the importance, not necessarily of failure, but of the willingness to be – of the willingness to fail as a marker to success and happiness in life. Mm-hmm. So I really try to touch on all those different things, and I think, you know, to your point and to the guiding principles of your podcast, this is hopefully a book that can be a conversation starter with parents and their children and then just families generally on a lot of the issues that we talk about when we're raising our children, and – I say this only half tongue in cheek, when our children are raising us as parents.
that is truer than you think. I really love that. And we've talked a lot about it on the podcast. The idea of helping our kids understand how important it is to be willing to fail or to be willing to take a chance that might end up in failure. I would love for you to talk, because you're very successful outside of being an author. I mean, this, you know, kind of fell into your lap. Just talk a little bit more about how important you think and why you thought it was important to talk to your daughter about that idea of being willing to take chances and to be willing to maybe fail.
Well, look, I'm actually just going to read you one paragraph from the chapter, The Importance of Failure. The way that I started, that I thought to write this letter is, one day I was chatting with a friend of mine who also had a child who at the time was, you know, the same age as my daughter, maybe 10 or 11 years old. And the father kept saying to his child, "You are perfect. Everything you do is perfect. You know, you're perfection personified," whatever. And then so he and I were talking later outside of the kid's earshot. And you know, I just couldn't help myself. I actually said to him, "Do you actually think your kid is perfect? Because if your kid is perfect, that trait alone separates him from the rest of humanity," mm-hmm. right? And he said to me, and I thought it sort of caught my interest, because he said, "Oh my God, no, the kid's anything but perfect. I just want him to have an expectation of success," right? Uh-huh. So that's what the letter's about, and this is the chapter that I think answers your question dead on, right? The problem with telling people that they are perfect as a way to program them for success is that success has little, if anything, to do with the perfection. On the contrary, success usually follows imperfection and failure. That doesn't mean I want you to be comfortable with failure. Remember, I'm talking to my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. I don't. I hope you'll have the same visceral antipathy towards it that I have. At the same time, I hope you won't fear failure and that you'll understand and embrace its role in getting to success. And then I talk, and in that letter, I actually talk a little bit about some of my own, because, you know, I've been very entrepreneurial in my life. I've had a lot of very high highs and very low lows and a lot of success and some failure. And so I talk about that because I wanted my daughter and anyone who reads the book to understand that success and happiness in life has nothing to do with perfection. It has to do with the willingness to risk failure and to do what it takes to get to the promised land.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. And
I think those are very important conversations for parents to have with their children.
Absolutely. It's so frustrating. You know, kids are – and thankfully we're having these conversations, but it seems like a generation of kids were bubble wrapped. And,
yes.
You know, and they didn't, you know, scrape a knee or break a wrist or, you know, whatever. And they didn't experience failure. When my son was 6 or 7 years old, I played competitive soccer in high school and college. He wanted to play, and they asked me to be a coach in the league, and I showed up, and they said, "We don't keep score here." And I'm like, "Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait a minute. The kids keep score."
Yeah, and life keeps score, right?
Yes.
For better or worse.
Yes. Oh, so it's crazy. Well, anyway, I'm really happy that you have this book, because I do think it's important. I love just the concept of writing those letters. And my daughter's 22 right now, but we spent a lot of time having conversations. She would come out on tour with me, so we would be in the van for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and you'd have to have these conversations. And
yeah,
I think that this book gives. It gives families a comfortable reason to start having some of these conversations.
It does. And I'll tell you something funny. Going back to the birds and the bees conversation, mm-hmm. I actually wrote the chapter on the birds and the bees when she was probably 10 or 11, right?
Uh-huh.
But interestingly enough, in writing that letter and in writing all the letters, when I talk about, you know, different values and issues and morality and, you know, the afterlife, whatever all those issues are, one of the things that it forced me to do was think through how I actually felt about all those things. And funny enough, when my daughter was about 16 years old maybe, and I actually had the conversation with her about the birds and the bees, I felt weirdly much better equipped because I had actually thought through how I felt about all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because a lot of times these conversations, it's hard to plan for them. you know, I think our first conversation with the kids because of something that just kind of popped up on TV and a news tease. We were watching American Idol. It's like, it's funny. Whoa, where did that come from? And we don't have a chance to kind of sit down and to think of where we are and think about and to really be thoughtful about how we feel about certain things and what kind of values we want to impart to our kids.
Yeah, and look, you know, because you have a daughter now that has reached adulthood. Mm-hmm. By the time a child reaches a certain age, whatever values, good or bad, you are going to instill in them, they're there. Mm-hmm. And so for someone like you and someone like me, you know, and I have followed your podcast, I see your love for your family. But, you know, all we can do after a while, all we can do is just guide them, mm-hmm. lend them an ear and a shoulder to cry on when they need it and, you know, root them on. But we've done our work by the time they hit that age.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a hard truth to accept, but it's important for us to accept it in order for our kids to be the adults that they're meant to be.
Yeah, and look, I think here's the other thing that you learn, right? Children want to be guided, but they don't want to be forced, mm-hmm. right? So, again, in writing the letters and in writing this book, what I wanted to do was give my daughter and all sons and daughters who may happen to read this, of whatever age, by the way, mm-hmm. some guideposts of things to think about the various issues of the world. Again, with some humor, some heart, hopefully fun to read. But look, for me, you know, you're an artist. Your immortality is this podcast that you do and all those things. For me, you know, my daughter, my grandkids, hopefully they'll all get to read this and know a little bit about the old man many years from now.
Absolutely. And it's something that they'll cherish. And the time that you and your kids will sit down talking about and reading from you, me to you, are times that you are going to cherish with your kids.
Yes, that's very well. That's very well said. Well, look, again, kids, you know, they leave the nest very quickly. Time, you know, my grandmother used to say the days are long, but the years are short. They leave the nest all too quickly. So I think the more time that we can spend reading with them, talking with them about things that we've read, whether it's in my book or any other book, by the way, mm-hmm. And the lessons that we learn from our children, not just the other way around, those are the things that we cherish and, you know, we'll remember when we're 90 years old and all those things, you know, and that makes me feel good mm-hmm. about having done something to move not only my children's lives forward, but maybe the human race a bit too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things in a minute, I'm going to ask you where folks can connect with you online and everything. But I made a conscious decision because you talk about, you know, you share in the book and in your letters your beliefs about values and faith and things like that. And I didn't ask you to elaborate on that specifically because I didn't want somebody to listen and say, well, I don't believe in the same way, so I'm not going to read the book. I think it can be very valuable for us to read a book, or read an author where they have a different opinion about faith or politics or whatever, because that can be a great conversation to have with your kids. Well, the author thinks this way, but I happen to think this way. And there are all these valid points, and these different opinions are valid. And I think that's an important conversation for parents to have too.
That is incredibly well said. I could not agree more with that. And interestingly enough, I take very few, you know, for example, if you talk about the chapter you just raised, which is on faith and religion, I really take no opinion or no position on, oh, Christianity is the right thing or Judaism is the right thing or Islam is the right thing. What I actually try to do in that chapter is just talk about what does faith mean? What's the role in religion? And by the way, because I actually, when I was in college, I took a class in comparative religions. And if you study the various religions, you realize two things. Number one, their teachings on some level are completely inapposite to each other. It doesn't make sense that one could be right and one could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that every religion, sort of teaches the same fundamental precepts to life, right? Mm-hmm. Have a kind heart. Be charitable to those less fortunate. Take care of your family and your neighbor. Love learning. Those are things that every religion in their own way and in their own narrative all do. And I sort of liken it – I didn't say this in the book, but I sort of liken it to the notion that the different religions in my mind are a bit like the different languages. French has a different word for love than Spanish does or Moroccan does or, you know, whatever, but they all mean love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thought-provoking thing that I tried to do with the book and that I hope will lead people to these discussions. But I do agree with you. And look, we are living in very peculiar times in this country right now. But to me, the one thing that's actually missing is dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We agree wholeheartedly on that. We're just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And not listening. It's like seeing adults putting their fingers in their ears. It's really disturbing. But yeah. I love what you said about religion. I've also done that. I've done a lot of reading about religion. It's very important to me. And I agree on the core issues of all the faiths that I've read about. They're in communion. Love each other. Be kind to each other. It's the politics that kind of where they go off. How we're going to do this and how we you know whatever. But I just love this, and I think it's I love your book, and I think everybody should definitely check it out. And definitely we should connect with you online. Where can folks go to connect with Norman Alagin online?
So there is a website, you know, www. Mm-hmm. NormanAlagimAuthor.com. And if you go to that site, there's a place to contact me. And if I'm not mistaken, there's probably links to also buy the book on Amazon or Audible or whatever. But more importantly, please go to that site. Please contact me if you have any questions, if you want to have a discussion. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, the name of the book is From Me to You, Stories About Life, Love, Family, Faith, and How to Negotiate a Bigger Allowance. Our guest today has been Norman Alagim. Norman, thank you so much. I've had so much fun speaking to you today.
Well, Jed, thank you so much. The feeling has been very mutual. I love your podcast. Thank you for having me on, and let's do it again.
Please be sure to join us for the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Our guest will be Rachel Hannibal. Rachel Hannibal, we're going to be talking about financial literacy, something every kid should know about, but like very few are. In fact, you should be financially literate too. I should be too. Don't miss it. Rachel Hannibal in the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast. Hey, if you are the author of a great children's book, I think you should consider having your book evaluated for our Reading With Your Kids Certified Great Read program. It is so hard to help your book stand out. I mean, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of children's books published every single year. And shelf space in bookstores is very, very limited. And it's really hard if you're at a book fair. There's so many books. How can you help your book stand out? How can you help a parent, a grandparent, know that your book is absolutely a book that they want in their family library? Well, being certified as a great read by the Reading With Your Kids podcast, a number one iTunes Kids and Family podcast, is a great place to start. This program, it's absolutely wonderful, and it's made a huge difference in a number of different books. Check it out for yourself, readingwithyourkids.com. Click on the Great Reads button. Hey, we want to thank Norman Alagim for being here today. Check out his book, From Me to You. And we also want to thank you. Thank you so much for being part of our beautiful Reading With Your Kids family. And, of course, thank you so much for taking the time to make the world a better place by reading with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next edition of the Reading With Your Kids podcast.